Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
This is a special episode.
It's super special.
This is a big deal. Coming to you in full panoramic sound.
I know. We got microphones to the left of me, microphones to the right.
Stuck in the middle with you.
Yeah.
Full sound, full color. This is our first full color show.
We got bright light up soundboard. This is an interesting one to me. We'll see how it goes.
I think there's a risk here, and I think our listeners should know.
Big risk, big payoff.
Dear listener, you and I are on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
David, on the other hand...
Say what?
David's in his own world. He's over there. He's got his own secret laugh track
that
only he can hear.
What?
He's got all these inside jokes. So he'll be like, we'll be talking serious, and then he'll burst out laughing for no reason.
These aren't labeled, so I have to remember. I have to remember what I'm dealing with.
Don't hit the fart track instead of the laugh track.
Yeah. So hopefully we don't, things don't get too crazy. Oh, here, I got, you know what? That was a great joke. Here's an applause.
I guarantee this all goes wrong. Not wrong, like, in a technical sense, but just wrong.
Yeah. Oh, there's even the crickets. So that's coming out.
That's going to get worn out.
Yeah. Oh, man. We got the classic trombone.
But see, that's what's so funny about this. Me and the listeners can't hear it. You're the only one that can hear it.
The listeners can. You can't.
Oh, shit.
It's because you didn't bring headphones.
I got this whole thing backwards. I'm the one on the island.
Yeah, you're the only one who doesn't hear it. You're alone in a world of your own.
Boy, that says a lot right there. You just blew my mind. I thought you were on the island. I'm on the island.
Why would I make sound effects for just me? Like, who's going to get... Only I'm laughing at that.
Welcome to my world.
Every day. Oh, my notes are all the way over here.
I'm not going to bother telling you the sleep joke because it really has to be told in person, but I made up a joke about sleeping. Did I tell you this? Did we do this on the podcast?
Is this the joke you did with your brother?
Yeah. We did do this on the podcast.
We did do this on the podcast. Yeah.
But that's an example of me being in my own world and nobody else paying attention.
Oh, man. Well, look, it's been a weird week. Like, comparative to our, like, 7-page week that we had last week, it's kind of a... It feels small, but there's stuff to talk about here.
Oh, solid. Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to open this up, right? Sony Pictures. And I'm going to call them my boys.
My boys.
With complete sarcasm.
Okay.
So my boys over at Sony, the chairman, Tom Rothman, is currently exploring the prospect of getting risk-free cash for the expensive Masters of the Universe film by making it for Netflix as opposed to for the theater. What's up?
What's the problem?
Well, I mean... My boys. They don't want to take a risk on the theater. They want risk-free moolah.
I think you're missing this story.
Oh, okay. Hit me up.
I don't think this is a reflection on, and I could be wrong. I don't know much about this. I don't think this is a reflection on whether or not Sony has an opinion about theaters and Netflix and streaming and stuff like that. I think this is just a reflection of... The streaming wars are making it such that Netflix and Amazon and those guys are paying incredible amounts of money to get content.
Okay.
And this guy's like, hey, I'm just going to get on that gravy train and make it for Netflix. It'll end up in the theaters. It'll get an Irishman-style release.
Oh, you think?
I do.
Masters of the Universe?
Yeah.
Masters of the Universe.
No, it's crap, but I'm saying if they spend... I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. I don't know if it's crap. I don't know anything about this movie.
This one's not getting aired in Hot Topic.
I'm saying if they... If I feel like there's a roadmap now. I think there's a roadmap now, which is we will fund your movie. We'll spend a crap ton of money on funding your new movie. And Netflix is the one with all that money. And Amazon is doing the same thing. And it'll be right in the mix of, you know, some sort of a weird new theatrical release. Maybe it's a limited release. Maybe it's a normal theatrical window. Maybe it's not. It sort of depends as they get closer on what the release plan is. But a lot of movies, they figure out the release plan, like, as they inch closer to it. So, in other words, I have often contacted studios, and we'll talk about a movie called Parasite from Neon, where you reach out to the studio and you're like, okay, what's the plan for this? And a lot of times they say, oh, well, we're going to this market, that market, or the other thing. And then other times they're like, well, we don't know yet. You know, we don't know what we have. So there, you know, there might not be an answer on what they do with Masters of the Universe just yet.
Right.
Am I the one missing this?
No. I think you're right. I think this is the new norm.
Yeah.
I looked at it and I was just kind of like, wow, they're not beating around the bush anymore.
Yeah.
Because I feel like with a lot of these movies, let's talk. What's that Lupita movie coming out with the kids and the zombies?
It came and went.
Is it already done?
I thought it was, because remember we were all excited about it and then we found out
it. I don't know that it's out yet, but it was Hulu.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I kind of thought that was the way that they were going, because so many times I'm like looking for trailers for us to talk about, and I can't find out where the platform it's coming out of until it's like right upon us. And I thought that was going to be, that's the way it was going to go. But now I guess they're just straight up going, no. We'll just make it for Netflix. If it goes in theaters, good, whatever.
Right. I think that's exactly right.
Yeah.
It's they're taking a page out of the indie studio's book, but doing so with big studio money.
Okay.
It's one way of looking at it.
All right. Okay. Well, hit me with something else here.
Well, I mean, we're going to talk in a few minutes about what happened this weekend, and we're going to talk about Gemini Man and Will Smith and Ang Lee. I just thought it was interesting. Of all the gin joints, of all the podcasts, of all the movie theaters in the country...
Yeah.
How many are there? There's what, 500 or more?
I mean, at least over 4.
No, there's got to be like 5,000. Yeah.
I meant 4, like the number 4.
Yeah.
Not 400. Yeah.
5,000, 6,000, whatever that number is.
Tell me a town without a theater within 15 minutes.
New Holland, Pennsylvania.
Come on, you're 15 minutes from New Holland, aren't you?
I don't know. My point is, there's thousands of movie theaters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gemini Man was made by Ang Lee.
Okay.
Incredibly talented director, cutting edge technology.
Sometimes, yeah.
Mostly. And he released, it was interesting because the movie Gemini Man was not necessarily targeted for like the artsy crowd.
No.
So you had like a marketing campaign for the Will Smith action hero crowd. Mm-hmm. And then you also had these sort of constant release of news about the exciting 3D format.
Yeah.
We showed it in 3D, but I think we showed it in, I'm going to get the number wrong, but was it 60 frames a second, something like that? Like
probably.
Faster than normal 3D, but not 120 frames. Mm-hmm. And there was this sort of consistent news thing about how cool the high frame rate, you know, was going to look and blah, blah, blah. First of all, I'd like to report that nobody, not literally, but very few people came to see. We offered it in 3D one time a day, and hardly anybody came to that show. But the more stunning news report that I read was that out of the, let's just call it 5,000, out of the 5,000 theaters in America, 14 of them played the high frame rate.
14?
1-4.
Okay, so we haven't talked about it a little bit on the show, but remember I saw high frame rate.
I do.
For The Hobbit.
You hated it.
And I hated it.
You saw it in Wilmington at that new theater, Penn Cinema built.
Yeah, and I it was an experience that I did not enjoy. I can't imagine after that they're still trying. I mean, it's like they kind of like that bandwagon kind of stopped.
If it didn't work for Harry Potter,
yeah,
it's not going to work for anybody.
Right. So I'm just surprised that they're still trying, first off. And then 14 theaters, wow, it's just so low.
So the question that we pose, podcast@penncinema.com, mm-hmm. some of our guys that are into techie stuff and into 3D and into film and sort of the latest evolution of exhibition,
ooh.
Is this a referendum on high frame rate? Podcast@penncinema.com.
Yeah, let us know.
You got an opinion, David?
I think it's done.
Cooked.
I don't think the high frame rate is the way to go. I mean, I look at, like, even just, like, HDTV and the way TV is changing. And what do you think about this? I mean, it's not quite the same because film still has a feel to it, but I think this high frame rate takes away from that. You look at your HDTVs, and they're so real that the suspension of disbelief is damaged.
Hmm.
Do you get that? It looks like a set. It doesn't look real.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the fake starts to show through rather than when it was a little more glossy, like your brain was able to just accept like what was happening.
Right.
And I feel like, high frame rate hurt my head, but I kind of feel like it could take things in that direction and almost pull a little of the magic out.
So I feel like the question is, it didn't work for Harry Potter,
mm-hmm.
and now it's not working for an incredibly talented director.
Mm-hmm.
Not that everything he does has been great, he knows how to make a beautiful movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's proven. And if it can't work for either one of those scenarios, I think we're done.
Yeah. I think it's dead. Well, things that aren't dead.
Speaking of things that you thought were dead.
say what?
What?
All right. I'm going to continue with more of my boys over at Sony. The people at Sony, they started hinting that the Sinister Six are on their way. You know the Sinister Six?
No. School me.
Sinister Six is Spider-Man's, like, reverse Avengers.
Okay. Avengers with bad guys.
Yeah, the bad guys are like, Spider-Man keeps beating us. What if the six of us teamed up and took on the spiders of the man?
What was that? It was some kind of play on words.
Yeah. You don't get it. Sinister Six is awesome idea. Sony's saying that it's an awesome idea, not so great. But the quote that I read was like, "Oh, look, these characters. It's no mistake that all of the characters in quote unquote our universe are Sinister Six characters." And I was like, "Well, hold up.
Whoa,
this is Marvel's universe. Get your hands out."
Is it?
Well, he's back, but only for one more movie. And I was like, well, what are you going to do? Pull those people over?
Well, isn't that defined?
Well.
Or are they arbitrary, like it's up for grabs? Whoever does one first gets them? Or?
I think
there's no way that's right.
Like, Venom is like hands off. Like, they want Venom.
Right.
And like some, they have a Morbius movie coming out. So he's off limits. I don't know what the exact deal is. Like in order for Marvel to use what is quote unquote a Spider-Man villain, they have to get the rights from Sony.
I want to back up to something you said earlier.
Yeah.
David.
Uh-huh. Yes.
At the beginning of this topic.
Yeah.
Can we play back the tape? At the beginning of this topic, here's David. Sony has reported that they want to do a Sinister Six movie, which in and of itself is a great idea.
Uh-huh. My hands are over the sound effect buttons. I'm just waiting.
His hand is over the sound effect button, but they're not labeled, so I don't know which fart noise he's going to make. But anyway, so David says Sony wants to do Sinister Six, which in and of itself is a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
But for Sony to say it. So what are you saying, David? You got some kind of problem? I feel like you have now planted a flag. You got a beef with Sony.
Yeah.
You got a problem with Sony.
I don't know if you know this or not, but Sony wants to take my boy Spider-Man away from Marvel. And they almost did. And I ain't having it.
Like, that's my girlfriend.
That is my boy. Like, come on. You can't ruin what we got going on.
All right.
And then they want to just pretend like he's the same dude over in their crap universe with their bad movies.
Didn't they undo that? Like,
Yeah, yeah, but for one more movie. And then he goes, and remember, yeah, wink.
Wink, wink.
And Kevin Feige was like, oh, well, he's the only superhero with the power to transverse cinematic universes, because he's like, ain't no way. Uh-huh. Yeah, ain't no way you're putting in.
Right, right.
Yeah, so.
There was something else I wanted to say about Sony. Sony's an interesting studio. We have a trailer on our trailer list this week from Sony, and it's just interesting, like, I feel like they are finding their way. You know what I mean? Warner Brothers is Warner Brothers. They release 22 movies a year. They're all pretty good movies.
And they're just like, deal with it.
And a couple of them are great, you know, and they're easily the most consistent studio that we deal with. They put out the most content. Every movie is... At worst case scenario, every movie is good. You know, they don't really put out... I'm not talking about quality. I'm talking about delivering an audience. Mm-hmm. You know, Warner Brothers is consistent. Universal is having a great couple years. You know, they're putting out these massive sort of event movies and, you know, doing great business. And of course, Disney is Disney. And then you have Sony, who I feel like Sony wants to be Disney.
Yeah.
Right? But they're kind of more like Paramount. And I say this with all due respect, because one of my favorite guys to deal with from in all the studios is my guy from Sony. So I love dealing with Sony, but when I look at his company that he's representing, I feel like they want to be Disney. They're sort of doing like they're more productive than Paramount in the sense that they make a lot more movies. So I give them credit for that. They got Zombieland 2 coming out. You know, they're all kind of over the place. Mm-hmm. But I feel like their problem is they're trying to be Disney.
Yeah, I agree. They want Disney success without the groundwork.
Without the hassle of actually being Disney.
Can we just make this movie and then it's just as good as theirs? Right. Like, it's just has everything that one does? Yeah, I agree. They're like the little brother that just kind of falls around.
Yes.
I can do it too. Right. And then the older brother's like, well, let me help you. Like, nah, I can do it.
I don't need you.
Mom! And as you were talking there, all I could imagine, and it was like Pirate Dave clacking away at his keyboard. You guys made fun of Sony, but remember that you really enjoyed XYZ movie by Sony?
Fair enough,
yeah. All right. It's funny because it's so true.
Right.
It's I put the podcast up and then I just start the timer for Pirate Day's response. I'm like, I'm waiting for it. I love it every time.
Sony has Bond, right? No.
No, is that Paramount?
No, it's not Paramount. No. I should know this because
I
love Bond, and I've been booking Bond since it was literally our first movie ever in 2006.
I don't think Sony does Bond. It's Miramax.
That's Sony. Yeah, it is Sony. It is Sony.
All right. Lasai. Or should I say...
No. I have no idea what you said. I'm over here on the island. I want to warn you. I'm just going to give you fair warning right now in front of God and everyone. One of these moments, I'm going to jump across the table and hit buttons.
It has a thing, and once I actually set these to like ones for the show, I'll give you like a thing and we'll place it so you can tap it.
All right. Now, listen, speaking of crazy, Matrix 4 has a lead. Yahya Abdul-Mateen, somebody's grandmother, was cast in the lead role of Matrix.
Okay, do you want to know who this guy really
is? First of all, who's Yahya?
You know, I wasn't going to pronounce it Yahya, but now I look at it, I'm like, well, you know, that might actually be his name.
Somebody's Greek grandmother is starring in Matrix 4.
It's Y-A-H-Y-A. Okay, this guy was Black Manta in
Avengers.
Aquaman. Avengers. No! No!
Just to piss you off, I said.
I put crickets in there for that one. he was Black Manta, and then he was the father not the husband, but the father in us.
Oh, okay.
Like,
all right.
When, in the flashbacks at the, like, right. at the fair.
So. Yaha!
Yaha! Yaha, yaha!
So anyway, he's starring in Matrix 4.
Matrix 4.
Do we have a release date on Matrix? Do we know anything?
Films starts filming next year.
Okay.
So there's rumors that, I mean, he could just be part of, like, the crew, but he could also be young Morpheus, because there's questions that
that'd be cool.
there could be some flashbacks.
You know, I don't know. I'm interested in what, you know, our pinkies out friends.
Shwing,
shwing. I wonder what our pinkies out friends think about this, because for me, I feel like the Matrix trilogy
mm-hmm.
is sort of among, like, thou shall not touch. Like, it's, and I don't want to use the word perfect, but it's so close to being perfect. Sort of starts, bang, finishes.
Now that's my, here's my question. Is it thou shall not touch because it's so memorable, or is it thou shall not touch because it started strong and fizzled out?
Okay, I'll give you that. I here's what I'm saying. My opinion, as it often does, mm-hmm. is evolving. And the more I hear about this, the more I think, okay, great. I could be really open-minded to another crack at this universe. I'd love to sort of go back to revisit some of those storylines. I'd love a prequel. I'd love another, even a sequel. There's lots of opportunities here for good movies to come out.
I'm open to it mostly because, the Wachowski siblings, this was, like, the thing they did well.
Why didn't you call them brothers?
Because they're not brothers anymore. They're
How does that
sister
work?
And transitioning sister.
Oh, gotcha.
So,
all right.
Yeah,
siblings.
It's the easier way to, right. to keep all track right. of right. who's doing what. All right.
So anyway, so we're looking forward to this.
Yeah,
our
I'm
official position.
Like,
yeah.
And it's they've got like the old crew back and all good actors. So
yeah.
I'm fully on board. So speaking of Keanu Reeves and the Matrix, John Wick is getting its first official spinoff series.
John Wick.
Now, if I told you that John Wick was getting a spinoff series, what would be what would you think it was about?
The hotel manager, Could the Continental.
Okay, if I told you it was going to be a female spinoff,
I'd say there was a female in this movie.
The third one, Halle Berry.
I know there was. I'm just saying, like, so you asked me, you think of John Wick. I don't think of Halle Berry. Well, maybe I should.
Yeah. Well,
anyway,
it's not Halle Berry, nor is it the Adjudicator from the last movie.
Yep.
It's called Ballerina, and it's going to be about one of the ballerinas trained at the same school that John Wick was.
When you say series,
a movie. Yeah, but I imagine that it's like going to be several.
Okay.
Yeah. Like it's, you know.
But it's not going to be John Wick 4. It's going to be like.
It's called right now it's called The Ballerina or Ballerina.
That's exciting.
Yeah, so it's going to be.
Do we have a lead?
No, but it's going to be about, because remember when they go to his thing, like, she's like training all those ballerinas.
Yeah.
So it's going to be about someone from there.
I love John Wick.
Yeah, me too, man.
That is great.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, hit us, close us up here with the.
Okay.
Get it done before midnight. I don't want you to turn into a pumpkin.
Oh. You can't hear everyone laughing right now. They love your jokes.
There's a reason you can't hear everyone laughing, because nobody's laughing.
All right, so.
Who's laughing now?
New Cinderella movie.
So,
starring Camila Cabello.
Okay.
I think this is cool. Look.
Remind me who Camila Cabello is.
She's a singer.
Okay.
She sings pop music, and I think she was in a group called Fifth Harmony, I think.
Okay.
Anyway, look, I'm gonna be fully
transparent
here.
You have no idea what you're talking about.
No. What I'm gonna say is, I like to watch music videos.
Who doesn't?
Right. And I like Camila Cabello's music. I like pop music.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
I'm not anti-pop music. I just don't know a lot of it.
A lot of her music videos have story outside of the songs.
Nice.
Where she acts. And she does a good job. So, like, I'm fully 100% like on board with seeing her transition into a lead role, especially something like Cinderella, which will probably have singing.
Like, yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, like I'm totally all for this. Like,
that sounds great.
Yeah, so cool. Sign me up. I mean, not to be in the movie where play Cinderella, but I'll watch it.
Why can't we have a male Cinderella?
You should figurehead that. Why can't you be Cinderella?
Because you're already cast as the perfect...
the perfect Cinderella.
Right.
Cinderella.
Wait, how would that work? You have a male Cinderella, so then you have... The male Cinderella is like, what, a janitor in a gym, mm-hmm. right? If you're okay. sort of following that model.
Yeah.
And then he is invited to the ball of like a Kate Middleton.
Okay.
Right? Like a princess.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Uh-huh. Right? Imagine if Kate Middleton was still single or whatever.
And also not royalty. She's just single.
But David, this is a fairy tale. You're talking about princesses. Right.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, right.
So Goodwill Hunting gets a date at the Royal Castle with Kate Middleton.
Right.
Matt Damon plays Goodwill Hunting. He meets up with Kate Middleton. Right? Ben Affleck tries to screw up the whole thing.
Yeah. But then when the fairy godfather.
Yes.
See what I did there?
Yeah, I do. Wait, hit the laugh button. The fairy godfather says what?
What are you asking me on this, the day of the princess's ball?
On the princess's ball. Yes.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, why not?
And then he waves his wand.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, he gets full bushy beard.
Yep.
Man bun. Because, yep. I mean, that's what's hip, right?
Obviously.
Tweed pants. Yeah. Some suspenders. He's hipstered out. He goes from
big time
janitor to hipster prince.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's like, the look's not complete. And then he's got a vape right there.
You know why that movie's never going to get made?
Why?
No, I'm being serious.
Because vaping's bad.
Because vaping is bad. The reason why that... Right. That's the problem. Right. Everything else made perfect sense.
It took you a second with that one.
Up until that moment, it was all coming together, crystal clear. But no, you know why that movie would never get made?
Why?
Because they're in the process of, like, bringing roles to women.
Right.
And showing them as the heroes.
Right.
You know.
Which is awesome.
Which is awesome. And I'm 100% on board with that.
Yeah.
But I am saying, like, the Cinderella movie with a male lead, like, that would at least... I'm not saying, like, oh, we need more roles for men. Like, Jesus, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, it's an interesting concept. Tell me you don't want to see Goodwill Hunting... On a date with Kate Middleton.
I want to see all of that. Directed and written by Penn Ketchum.
Minus the vaping. For God's sakes.
No vaping. None.
No, I don't want to see it written by Penn Ketchum. I want to see it written by Ben Affleck and... What's his face? The other one. Matt Damon. Yeah,
Matt
I want the two of them. And it's going to be called Goodwill Hunting 2. Until the last minute when they reveal the new title, which is... Mandarella or something.
Mandarella.
Sunderella.
Sunderella. Oh my gosh. Please make that movie.
Creative somewhere. Genius.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. That's just off the top of my head.
Why don't you work for Sony?
All I can picture is the mop bucket at MIT. You know,
yeah.
That's what it is. Kate Middleton goes to MIT for like, you know, some royal of some fancy affair. She's like, you know,
she's
there.
Commensary.
Right. And he's in the hallway solving some incredible riddle. You know, and she's like, oh my God, your janitor's wicked smart. You know?
She also has a Boston accent.
She picks up a Boston accent while she's there.
Kate Middleton, now the princess.
The princess of Boston. Go Pats! I think this is brilliant. The more we talk about this, the better idea it is.
It needs to be made. It needs to be made.
All right, David, now we know what we're doing in 2020.
Speaking of great things like this,
yeah.
Before seeing Gemini Man last night, Chris Hall Productions' wife,
ooh,
let's call her Mrs. Chris Hall Productions.
Okay.
She's like, you know about this serious Fresh Prince of Bel-Air spoof trailer. And I'm like, I don't. So she pulls this out and she shows me. And it's like, imagine Fresh Prince of Bel-Air made today, but like a serious drama.
Like it was a drama.
Yeah. And it's great.
That would be great.
It's pretty awesome.
I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, it's good.
So, all right, let's get into some trailers.
Yeah.
David, to start us off, I put those two together for you.
Right at the top?
Yeah.
Because you're like, don't care.
Like, whatever.
All right. Weathering With You. They don't have an English version of this yet.
That's your first hint.
That's your first hint. It's
it's animated. That's your second hint.
It's made by the people who made In Your Name. Or, wait, no, just Your Name. It's called Your Name. Which is an amazing film. Everyone I've showed it to is like, whoa.
Whoa.
I didn't know. Oh my gosh. But this is coming to America, at least dubbed in, I think, November, it said, something like that.
Yep.
I'm really looking forward to this. Your Name, I thought, was great. I know J.J. Abrams is trying to make a live-action American version of it, because he loved it too. So I think that looks great. Now, this other movie...
Is this anime?
Yes.
Okay.
This is anime.
I didn't know if there was some, like, uppity reason it's not qualified as anime or something.
It clearly comes from the northern province. The northern province, which doesn't classify as... I thought this looks great. You're whatever about this, and I'm fine with that.
No, here's the thing. I want... Because I know all the cool kids like anime.
Yeah, right.
And I want to.
The cool kids.
Right. I.e. David and my friend Julia.
Right.
Right. I'm kind of whatever.
Wait, you haven't like been fully exposed
it's
yet.
True. Right. True. What's the one that we're watching?
Spirited Away at the end of the month.
End of October.
Yeah.
Coming here.
Yeah. Coming here.
Is it really coming here?
Yeah. It's part of the Ghibli festival you got going on.
Awesome. So. Ghibli is fun to say.
Yeah.
Like, right? If you're listening to this podcast right now and you're in some office, like, doing some grown-up work, stop what you're doing for a sec and just say right. Ghibli.
Well, I challenge you to stop what you're doing, find someone close by,
and say,
put your hand on top of their hand or arm, look them in the eye and say, Ghibli.
Ghibli.
Ghibli. Just see what their reaction is.
Or, like, when you go and you're, like, in a cup of coffee or having lunch with somebody, or like, try to work Ghibli into a sentence that has nothing to do. Don't say, like, have you seen the new Ghibli film?
Yeah.
That doesn't count. But be, somebody's talking about, like, their new car, and you're like, oh, it looks really Ghibli.
See what the reactions are. I love it.
Or like, you know, some hottie like walks by and you're like, boy, that Ghibli.
I don't know if I'd say it sounds like Jiggly. You might get in trouble. All right, so this is something you sent me a few weeks ago, but at the time it was confused as to what it was. Yeah, because you were like, what's up with this?
Okay,
you wanted to know.
Right, I emailed you.
Yeah.
Because somebody had pitched us about showing it, or they had, was it a customer asking me, or was it a studio pitching it to me?
It looked like a studio pitch.
Yeah, so a studio was pitching it to us, and I went to my expert, my local Ghibli expert.
Pinkies out!
Pinkies out! And I grew my goatee out real quick, and got my pipe out, and emailed David and said, what's the deal with this here Ghibli?
It's not a Studio Ghibli film, to be fair.
But it's still anime.
It's called White Snake. It's also not in English.
The fun thing is, if you like go to YouTube and type in White Snake,
this is not what's going to come up.
This is not the first thing that comes up.
Yeah. It's that style of animation that has like, oosh, I can't even really. It has like this. Like computer animated feel, because it is. It's like drawn on computers.
Right.
And I hate that. If it was hand drawn, I think I'd be really into this because the story looks interesting and such, but I just cannot get behind the animation.
It reminds me, I remember in one of our early episodes, me and my friend John Oliver were talking about Tutankhamun.
Yeah.
Remember he wrote in and he was like, oh yeah, I played that game. And he played it like on Charlotte Street in Mannheim, and I played it on Joralemon Street in Brooklyn. But we sort of bonded over like what a great sort of game. And when I watched this trailer for White Snake, not Tutankhamun, but the trailer for Whitesnake brought out a visceral, like, emotional response. It reminded me of some of those old school video games.
Yeah, It looks like a PlayStation 1 game.
Which, in 1984, or 3, or 2, or whatever, in the early 80s, like, it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But now I'm kind of like, I expect more.
Right. Now, I look at this and I feel like it needs to be better. So, I don't know if that's even one really worth checking out. Weathering With You looks like it could be really good, though.
Yeah.
So, there you go. That's my anime, fanime, Ghibli.
Spirited Away 2. This is a sequel.
What? No. There's no sequel to Spirited Away.
Well, apparently Studio Ghibli has a press release that says Spirited Away 2 coming to theaters in 2019. No good?
I never heard of it. I would be shocked if you were breaking this news live to me right now.
In fact, it was an April Fool's joke.
I was going to say, there's no way the story doesn't lend itself to a sequel.
All right, let me tell you something.
Uh-huh.
I just became a huge Studio Ghibli fan.
Yeah?
Because...
They pulled an April Fool's joke?
That headline was an official Studio Ghibli headline.
Yeah.
On April Fool's Day earlier this year.
Some boys.
Yeah.
Unlike Sony, they know what's up.
I mean, I love it. I love that they have a sense of humor about that and that they could commit to that.
Yeah.
That's great. To me, that's like, I'm a fan now. I can't wait.
Cannot wait till the end of the month
I'm
when I show
forward
you this
to it. Yeah.
Animated film to fall asleep for.
Nope, I'm not going to fall asleep. I'm going to love it.
We're going to do a Watch With Us event for that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, 100%.
So, cool. Cool. All right, so give me a trailer.
I'm just trying to decide if this is my trailer of the week. I don't think it is because I want to talk about some of the other trailers, but... The trailer for Jungle Cruise just dropped. This comes out next summer, so it's a pretty early trailer with Dwayne Johnson and Emily Blunt, summer of 2020. Jungle Cruise, it looks corny, like it's going to appeal to a little bit of a younger audience, and I'm not trying to say this is like, I'm not excited for this the way I'm excited for the new James Bond movie or like some of our like other movies. But I'm excited for this because it looks like this is going to be a great kids movie.
Yeah. I'm excited for this the same way I'm excited for like Jumanji 2.
Yeah.
Like it looks fun.
Jumanji or like Night at the Museum. It's sort of that ilk.
Or even like the later Pirates movies.
I was just going to say, the trailer, that scene where Emily Blunt is escaping from some library or something, museum artifacts, that's straight out of Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah. I love that Emily Blunt seems to be the lead, too. And I thought The Rock was going to be, like...
The Rock?
Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
I think we just call him Dwayne Johnson.
I just call him Dwayne because we're pretty tight.
DJ.
Yeah, what's up, DJ?
Deej. Is that the same DJ from Full House?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, that's neat.
Got a haircut.
Put on a lot of weight. No, I'm serious. Like, I'm not trying to say this is going to be the best movie of 2020, but I'm saying, it looks exciting. It looks fun. The trailer was exciting. It gives a little bit of a plot. I think this looks great.
I'm right there with you. This was almost my trailer of the week.
Okay.
And I almost want to say it is because when we get to what my trailer of the week is, I fight whether or not it's a good trailer. I'm totally interested, but I don't know if it's a good trailer.
Here, I'm going to tease my trailer of the week.
Yeah.
My trailer of the week came out in 2013. Okay, so we'll move on from Jungle Cruise to Charlie's Angels.
Okay. All right. Charlie's Angels.
This was not my trailer of the week.
No.
But it was...
I think this trailer looks better than the last one.
Yep, I'll give you that.
Yeah, and for the first little bit of it, I was like, okay, I think I'm kind of on board with this.
All right,
And then there are a couple scenes, and I was like, no. I think I've checked out.
Is Elizabeth Banks involved in this movie?
Yeah.
Is she the star?
She is.
And did she write it?
The Bosley, and I think.
And did she direct it?
I'm pretty sure.
And did she produce it? Did she assistant produce it? She's a director of cinematography.
She did like everything.
Did she co-write it?
I'm pretty sure it's just her talking. It's a one-lady show on a stage.
I got a problem, David. You know what my problem is?
What's your problem with Penn?
I'm going to tell you my problem.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to share my problem. I'm going to tell you my problem. You know what my problem is?
What?
Here's my problem.
Okay.
My problem is She overdid her name on everything. I get it.
Yeah.
I'm sure that she, like, I just can't stand if you're the person who, like, did every job in the movie.
Right.
Then I think it should suffice to just say a film by Elizabeth Banks.
Right.
It's not even like an ego thing. To me, it's like a tacky thing. Yeah. It's like, it's not a classy move. It takes away from the movie. Okay. That's my problem with it. It took me away from Charlie's Angels, that every other screen had Elizabeth Banks' name in banner across the screen.
Wait, Elizabeth Banks isn't that? You lost me there for a second. I might be interested.
Like, the movie looks good. It has a great cast, you know, but the trailer totally took me out of the movie that every 2 seconds there was another banner of what Elizabeth Banks did for this movie, which, again, I don't have a problem with her doing all those jobs. That's right. Great. God bless you.
Yeah.
And I don't even have a problem with her, like, starring in it. And that happens all the time. And that's great. Yeah. I know that that's a thing people do. I just felt like, and I don't even have a problem with the ego behind it, because God knows, first of all, that I've got a large ego, and second of all, all these actors, you know, they all have ego, and that's all good. But I'm just saying, it's in poor taste, and it took away from the film that she's trying to promote.
Yeah. Okay. This reminds me of comments we made about Trolls.
Okay.
When we saw the trailer for that.
What way?
We were like, maybe it wasn't Trolls. It was something like that.
It was Onward.
Was it? No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Was it? Well, it was our
tell the story, and then I'll tell you what trailer it was.
Our comment was that the movie, they just plastered a bunch of names on it to go, like a paycheck movie.
Oh, yeah.
To get you to go see it, but didn't really show you much about it. And I think that movie had a lot of singing in it.
I think it might have been Trolls.
Yeah. And the reason I bring this up is because at the end of this trailer, it says soundtrack release November 1st. Doesn't tell you when the movie comes out. It just says November.
And that soundtrack looked pretty amazing.
Sure.
I mean, it had talk about pop music. Like, it had a lot of great, like, some of the hottest names in the business right now.
But if that's your claim to fame to see the movie, and it's not a musical.
I didn't take that that way.
No?
No. I was relieved to see a screen that didn't say Elizabeth Banks.
Look closer.
Look, I'm sure
she's produced by.
Maybe she's singing one of the title track.
This brings me back to the day where, like, big movies had those soundtracks that everyone
loved.
Like Godzilla.
Yeah.
Like, man, I still remember in reference to those, like, cheesy songs.
Yeah.
I'll never watch that movie again. Like
the
early one. So, anyway. All right.
We should have some week when we think it's a slow week, we should have a soundtrack show.
Ooh.
Like, talk best soundtracks.
I like that. And we should fish the audience for their.
Yes.
Their stuff. So, all right. So, moving on.
Oh, by the way, that hot mess that we just described?
Yeah.
What studio is that from?
Is it Sony?
It is Sony.
So, moving on. Word.
Okay. Onward.
Trailer 2.
Wait, hit the laugh track.
And then I got to follow it up.
I have no idea what. He's over there hitting buttons crazy. He's drunk. He doesn't know. He's hitting the button and then looking at me.
Isn't it funny, Pat? Is it hilarious? Don't you find this hilarious? Why aren't you laughing?
He's looking at me like with this this hopeful, like, expecting look. I'm like,
you need headphones. You need headphones.
All right. I don't. Whatever.
Or something.
Thanks for that dad joke.
Yeah.
The no onward. Moving onward.
Moving onward.
Onward trailer 2.
Yeah.
I want to talk about this.
Okay, hit me.
First of all. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about Gemini Man, and one of the things we're going to discuss is the plethora
of...
I pause now to give people a moment to look that up. Mm. The plethora of movies with daddy issues.
Oh.
Do we all have daddy issues? Is it so prevalent everywhere? I mean, whatever.
Clearly.
I'm not trying to talk this into some kind of turn this into some kind of talk therapy radio show, but I'm just saying, like, it is remarkable how many movies deal with daddy issues.
Right. Come on,
okay. With that being said, Onward Trailer 2. Onward is an animated kids movie. I previously watched this trailer and then forgot I watched it and then commented on it as if I hadn't seen it before, but I wasn't going to be caught off guard again.
No, let me elaborate on that. You watched this movie, said you hated the trailer, then came back, watched the trailer again, and said you loved the trailer, and you were so excited for it. So now you've watched it the third time, a different trailer, at least not the same one.
Right.
And where do you stand now?
Right. Well, if I could elaborate on your elaboration.
Yes.
I didn't like the first time I saw the first trailer, I didn't like it. The second time I saw the first trailer, I also still didn't like it, but I said I loved it because there was the scene where, like, the unicorns are in the trash and he, like, drives off. And that made me laugh out loud. So I guess I overreacted by saying I loved it. I didn't really love it, but upon the second viewing, I laughed out loud, so I gave it some... I tried to be more generous.
Mm.
So here we are with the third viewing, and now, for those keeping track at home, the second trailer.
Right.
My comment on this is either going to be the best movie or the worst movie ever made. Or even, I don't even want to say ever made, it's either going to be the best movie or the worst movie of 2020.
Yeah, I
can't decide if this is taking a brilliant turn, because it's really creative. And there were some parts of the trailer that made me think, this is really interesting and going to be a lot of fun. And then there were some parts of the trailer that made me think, like, oh, my God, my minutes are slipping away. I'm still watching this trailer?
I liked that we got more of the story.
Yeah.
I thought that
the
was...
The daddy.
Yeah, the dad issues. You got an idea of what it's going to be about. It felt very Pixar. The first trailer did not feel anything special. This felt like a Pixar story. So I have faith that it'll at least do well Pixar-wise.
Pixar has an okay track record.
Yeah, they're pretty, yeah, it's okay. Yeah,
right.
They're pretty good. I mean, I tend to not like them, like, I didn't, yeah, whatever.
Easy.
But it's
What did you, oh, wait a minute, what did you not like?
Some of the ones that get a little too sad for me, like, I just, that's not what I'm looking for.
All right, I got
like
you.
Like, Up, like, I just.
Or how about Inside Out?
I didn't see Inside Out.
Good.
Yeah.
You couldn't handle that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you'd be crying.
All the time, every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I think this one, it had funny parts in the trailer.
What was the movie we saw where I gave you the mug because it was so emotional? Hobbs and Shaw.
Olympus Down, but whatever.
Angel Has Fallen.
Angel Has Fallen. Yeah, Angel Has Fallen.
That tested your emotional fortitude.
It was so difficult for me. Yeah. I don't know.
So Onward looks like... let me just say this about Onward. I think it has... First of all, it's Pixar, so automatically has, you know, some credibility. But I think it has really good potential.
Yeah. I'll say it looks better than one of the movies that I watched this week on my own. That was a kids' movie.
Called?
Adam's Family.
Okay, next movie, uh-huh. And I say movie because I'm not saying trailer. The next movie on the list is The Turning.
Right.
Which opens in January of 2020 and is apparently some kind of horror movie.
Ah, dog.
But let me tell you, The Turning, starring Rose Byrne, came out in 2013 and looks way better.
Okay.
And that's the trailer that I watched.
Okay.
I watched the 2013 trailer and loved it.
Finn Wolfhard?
Something like that, yeah.
You didn't see that one? Wait, what trailer did you watch coming out? Did you watch the one with the babysitter?
No, that's the one that I started watching, and I was like, oh, I already watched one trailer called The Turning.
I'm done.
Yeah.
They're clearly all the same.
No, you're calling me out?
No, I'm just...
All right, I was running out of time.
Right.
It was like, TikTok, no. David's going to be here in a minute.
Yeah,
I got it.
I put the notes in together pretty late, so it's all good.
No. So here's the thing. Let me tell you, because I really want to thank our listener. Because
the one
over the weeks that this podcast has been on, I have learned so much. Mm-hmm. And remember a couple weeks ago, I watched a movie for the trailer. It was the disaster movie that took place in Norway.
Oh, yeah.
And Pirate Dave was like, oh, that's great. It came out in 2015 or something like that. Well, I make a lot of stupid mistakes.
What?
But I know that's shocking. But one thing that I will give myself credit for, yeah. I'm good at learning from my mistakes.
Mm.
And I'm watching this trailer with Rose Byrne, and I'm loving this movie. Yeah. And I'm like, I can't wait to see this movie. And then I'm like, wait a minute. How have I not heard about this movie coming out? So I do just the tiniest little bit of digging, and I dig in my website that has release schedules, and I type in The Turning, and it gives me a few different options for movies called The Turning. And it was pretty quickly from that point that I realized I was watching the wrong trailer. But I loved that trailer so much. And if you're not familiar with the movie I'm talking about, the movie's called The Turning. It looks really creative, really interesting. Came out in 2013. I don't know how Penn Cinema missed it.
Is it a horror movie?
No. It's a beautiful, like a drama.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Very cute, beautiful. Looks like it was really well made.
Very
original. So then when I figured out the correct trailer that I was supposed to be watching, I started it, and 2 or 3 seconds into it, I clicked off it. David, I only got so many minutes. There he is, looking at me again.
Applause.
I don't know what
applause.
He's... All right, so...
So
don't waste your time on The Turning unless you want to watch The Turning from 2013, yeah. In which case I recommend it.
Yeah, it's just a horror film starring Finn Wolfhard and some other people about a babysitter. Anyway.
Last trailer.
That was your trailer of the week, was The Turning?
No.
Okay. All right.
My trailer of the week is for a movie called Parasite.
Same here.
Here's how I feel about this trailer. When I was done watching the trailer, the trailer's coming out from a studio called Neon, mm-hmm. who brought you that movie that I loved, wink, wink, the I, Tonya. Which, remember I got in trouble?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody yelled at me for getting my facts mixed up or saying I liked something that
didn't
I didn't
Neon
like.
Neon also do Hustlers?
No.
No.
No, that was STX. Mm. Anyway, I emailed my girl from Neon, Alyssa, and I was like, what are we doing about Parasite? Because it was released limitedly in literally like 3 theaters. This like 2 days ago. And so it's obviously on some kind of platform release. But I loved this trailer so much that as soon as I was done watching, I emailed Alyssa and I was like, Alyssa, I think it is. It's Alyssa, but spelled with an E. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what's the plan with this movie? Because I think it would be great.
Here's the deal. I saw this trailer a while ago. So it's not like, it didn't just hit my radar this week.
Yeah.
It was maybe two weeks ago. And I was like, well, I didn't watch the whole thing. I just like started it and I saw that it was coming to theaters, but it wasn't in English. And I was like, well, maybe this isn't like, I didn't know if it was really a wide release or whatever. And I kind of backburnered it. And I was like, well, maybe if we had a lot that week anyway. And then Zotropolis said they were getting it. And I was like, hold up. So this has some legitimacy to it. Like it's actually coming around. So then this week when we were putting things together, I actually sat down to watch it. I was like, is this good enough to put on here? And of course, it was all immediately like, yeah. Like, it's very ambiguous as to what it's really about, but it makes you want to watch the movie.
To me, it's what makes it so compelling, and it might just be a good marketing campaign, in which case we'll all be disappointed.
Well, the review quotes could be taken out of context.
Well, right. So I'm just saying it could be a good marketing campaign, but if you take it at face value, mm-hmm. what makes this movie so compelling for me is that it sets itself up to be a classic class movie, the haves and the have-nots, which is obviously an incredible issue facing our world these days.
Yeah.
But then it goes on. It reminded me a little bit of Us. That movie, Us.
Yeah, yeah.
It goes on to lead you to believe that there's some significant plot twists throughout the movie.
Right.
So I'm anxious. I think there's more to this movie than what it is. It reminds me of Us, and what's the other movie that same guy did?
Get Out.
Get Out, yeah.
I love in the trailer when the guy's like, they say, I can't trust anyone, and someone else says that, and they make it seem like it's along the same lines, and the driver goes, yeah, but like, you still love her, though. Or he's like, you can't trust her, but you still love her. And the guy in the back seat's just like,
I don't know.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about what happened at the theater this week.
Yeah. pretty straightforward, quiet weekend. It wasn't a bad weekend. It wasn't a great weekend. Gemini Man did well in some places and not so great in other places. And Joker continued to be the story.
Up here on the northern eastern side, it's getting a little colder. Is that bringing people in?
Yeah. It's bringing people in, but then we're also competing with football season. And, you know, it's typical October. Business okay. was typical October business. Like, okay. better than September, not as good as November.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Very cool. Well, movie reviews this week. We got two for you. Well, sort of. We have Mr. America, which we had a little bit of a get-together at Zootropolis for. Unfortunately, some stuff came up. Penn wasn't able to make it, but I was there. And I really enjoyed this movie. If you like This is Spinal Tap or Best in Show, I mean, it's not quite up at their level. I feel like this is the type of movie you'll watch and you'll laugh at. But if you watch it with the right person, you and that person will be quoting it to each other for a while or referencing it. Like it's one of those kind of like, maybe an experience movie is the wrong way to say it. But it's funny, but it's more funny when you talk about it later. Yeah, I guess, what else was like that? Napoleon Dynamite to me.
It sounds like the kind of movie that was great to watch with an audience.
Yeah, the audience was like I didn't laugh at every joke, but like the audience was roaring at parts.
Yeah.
And it's just very, very, very awkward kind of situations. And they work, the actors work really well at it, so... I enjoyed it. If that's the kind of humor that you're into, then definitely check it out. Is it Netflix now?
It's online somewhere.
It's streaming somewhere now. Yeah, it was a one night.
I bet you this is a title for the Mystery Gobble.
Yeah, yeah.
Mystery Gobble, I almost guarantee you would love this movie.
They did have a little bit of thing because it was a one night screening, I guess, event. They had like special features at the end.
Nice.
Like some extra bonus footage and stuff, and that was pretty cool. So, but our big review for this week... Gemini Man, starring Will Smith and Will Smith.
And the lady who plays his little sidekick, who I had never seen before. Have we seen her in other movies? Because I thought she was great.
She looked really familiar, but I couldn't remember where I saw her from or her name. And, surprise out of nowhere, Benedict Wong.
What?
Who should be in everything.
He is amazing. I love him.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Penn just made hand motions. all right, so what do you think of Gemini Man?
I thought it was great. It was interesting. It's interesting to me, as I alluded to earlier when we were talking about whatever that was, where we were talking about daddy issues with Onward Trailer 2. If you look at this purely as an action movie, I thought it was great. It's not like the best ever. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking for a good action movie, the chase sequences with Will Smith and Will Smith were incredible.
Yeah, some of those are really cool.
The motorbike scene, I mean, you won't forget that soon.
Right.
Yeah, that was a pretty incredible scene. Although there were a couple flashes, I'm not one to complain about this, but there were a couple flashes where I could see the green screen effect.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it just was clear. I mean, I know the whole movie's green screen or whatever, but there was a few pieces at the end of that when they had the showdown, when the young Will Smith was still on his motorbike, and it crossed into where even I, an easy critic, could see that it was like fake.
Yeah.
A lot of Photoshop there.
Whoa, photo what?
What? But so as an action movie, like it was good. I liked it. Yeah. It was a good movie, great, whatever. It's not the kind of movie where if you're an action fan, where I'm saying, hey, you got to stop what you're doing and get in here and see this. But it also had another sort of, you know, I thought of it as like part of it I saw as an action movie and part of it I saw as an Ang Lee film, you know. And as an Ang Lee film, I thought it was interesting. The final 45 minutes got interesting. You know what I mean? The final 35 minutes where you really start to get into this issue of, like, the role that your parents have in allowing you to see the different directions that your life could take.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's not so much what your parents encourage you to do or not to do, but whether or not your parents allow you to even think that you have a choice in it. that you even have options. And so for Will Smith to try to correct, it got a little bit weird because I had trouble until the end. I had trouble buying the young Will Smith as a human being.
Yeah.
You know, as a son. You know what I mean? Like, so now Will Smith is sort of this father, but then Clive Owens is the real father, or the, you know, actual father, so to speak. But he's a cloned sheep, so he doesn't really even have a father. But, you know, so it was that part of it was a little bit questionable for me.
Yeah.
But it raised some interesting questions, and I thought it was well done. And to me, the movie was fine.
It didn't get into the nurture versus nature thing much, which is kind of... Okay, they kind of leaned on that.
But that was kind of obvious. Like, I don't think they needed to get into that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's just like, I guess as a society, we've kind of gotten to the point where we understand that nurture changes things rather than just nature, and in a lot of cases. But in this movie, they kind of held out that, like, nature took precedence. You know, like, you're him, so you have the same psychological... Like, you don't sleep at night, you have insomnia, you have the same kind of doubts, like, it just, like, in that's just ingrained in you that you will doubt yourself because you're genetically the same. Like, that part there was kind of, I don't know, it kind of went against everything else that they were saying. Oh, well, he was brought up and trained, so the nurture changed him. Anyway, I thought the movie was fine. I'm right there with you. It was a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, definitely.
I thought it was going to be. I didn't think it was going to be as good as it was. The action scenes were pretty cool. I liked the chase scenes. I mean,
yeah.
I like that Will Smith, old Will Smith, seemed older. Like, you know, like he got beaten up and
he's 51 now.
Yeah, yeah. And that was a big joke. 50? You mean 51?
You mean 51?
Yeah. I liked that they didn't play him up as, like, unbreakable, undestructible kind of thing. And I liked that they put him in a position where he had thought he knew everything, and then he's like, how do they keep tracking me? Like,
yeah.
It was, like, kind of a small thing in the background. But if you like action films and you're looking for something to see, I'd say go see it. Like, I walked out, and I was talking to Mr. Manager, and he's like, oh, is it horrible? And I was like, no.
It's good.
People saying it's bad? He's like, it's 23% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I was like, for 23% on Rotten Tomatoes, that theater was packed.
Yeah.
That surprises me. What really surprised me, though, is a guy two seats away, when they revealed young Will Smith, he was like, what? Like, audibly. And I was like, wait, why are you here? how did you not know?
He was here to see the Will Smith movie.
yeah, apparently.
Wow. So. My favorite scene of the whole movie was the fight with the girl on the boathouse dock when the bad guy comes in and says, you can tell me now, or you can tell me in 5 minutes, minus your teeth. And then, like, she beats the hell out of him, and she's like, who sent you? You can tell me now, or you can tell me in 5 minutes, minus your teeth. And I was just like... Oh my God, that's so corny. That's like perfect.
But then when Will Smith came up, he's like, "How do you know he was telling the truth?" And she just drops a bunch of teeth on it.
Yeah, that was like awful and perfect at the same time.
The biggest groan moment for me was Will Smith retired, and they're like, "Why did you retire?" He's like, "I can't even look at myself in the mirror." I was like, "Well,
yeah."
2 hours to go. Like, you facing yourself.
All right. You ain't seen nothing yet. You think that mirror's tough.
Yeah, come on now.
All right.
Listener notes and questions.
We got a 5-star review this week.
My gosh.
Which I have to say, I'm going to throw in some extra tickets.
Oh my word.
Because it really made me laugh.
Yeah.
Because you ever watch a Muppet show?
Yeah.
Of course. Love the Muppets.
God, love the Muppets.
The old men.
Yeah.
I quote them all the time, right?
Yeah.
I just love them. And so the 5-star review, what's the second guy's name? The first guy's Statler.
Oh, I always forget their names.
It's like Statler and Jennings, let's say.
Yeah.
And so the 5-star review was, the Penn Cinema podcast is like Statler and Jennings, but without the witty banter. Which, first of all, is hilarious on its own right. And then second of all, is perfect because it's the kind of thing Statler and Jennings would say about us.
Yeah, right.
Without us.
Without us.
Perfect.
Yeah, I that was great.
Shout out to Demi, and we'll have your passes downstairs.
Awesome. Congratulations. Marley wrote us in, right? She said, from Poha.
Praha with the Brahas.
Yeah, the correct way to pronounce that dude's name was like a regular O. Was it Olan or?
It was like David or Schleschke or something.
Or yeah. And I was like, well, what's up with, like, I don't understand what's with the weird letters. And she's like, that's just the way they do it over here. They just get fancy.
Yeah. Like, she said they like to flex with their weird letters.
Yeah. So props I'm coming through on how to pronounce the unpronounceable.
Our most devoted fact checker. When we have an international question, we know exactly who to turn to.
Right.
And she's on her way now as we speak. I spoke to her this morning from Bratislava.
Whoa.
Which I believe is in Slovakia. She's studying in Czech, but she spent the weekend in Slovakia.
What?
Yeah. So shout out to Marley.
She's all over the place.
Seeing some castles, living her best life.
I'm going to check and make sure how many downloads we had from Slovakia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, I think she's already on her way back to Prague. So
come on. Praha with the Brahas.
Praha with the Brahas.
We also heard from Pirate Dave this week.
Thank God.
Thank God.
The week is going to come when we don't hear from Pirate Dave.
That's what's going to happen is I'm going to call you. I'm not even going to text.
Yeah, right.
I'm
my God.
Direct line.
You're going to pick up the red phone.
Yeah. Do we know anyone we can call?
Yeah.
Is Pirate Dave okay?
Yeah. We'll have to send out our squad.
Yeah. We should just call the cops. You have his address, right? We tell them we need a wellness check. Stat. Pirate Dave.
This was too much.
Yeah.
Is he pulling our chain?
No, because I remember once he said it, I was like, oh, yeah. We were like Nancy Drew, and you were like, oh, it was ruined by the. Whoever did the Nancy
Emma Roberts.
Emma Roberts.
No. I never said it was ruined.
People didn't like it.
People didn't loved it. I thought she did great.
Right.
And it flopped and was never heard from again.
You thought it, yeah, you were disappointed. And I said, what they should do is they should have rebooted it with the girl from It. And you were like making jokes and stuff.
Wait, can we play the tape back? Didn't I agree with you that would be a good idea?
Yeah, you did.
Okay, but so we're both on board joking around that this would be really smart idea to take the girl from Stranger Things and have her play Nancy Drew.
Right.
And we're patting ourselves on the back because we're so smart for thinking about this.
Everyone was in the crowd, was like,
yeah. Oh, we're going crazy. We're so,
thank you. anyway. Apparently, they already made that movie with the girl from It as Nancy Drew.
Womp, womp.
And we didn't even know about it.
So stupid.
Yeah. So it was a surprisingly short email from Pirate Dave because he was like, I'm done with you guys.
He's got shit to do.
Yeah.
Come on. That's the other thing. It's like, you know, how much longer is he going to put up with our nonsense?
He wants our phone number, and he's like, I think he's on a protest.
Are we going to get him? I hope he comes. I hope he's planning to join us. Can you imagine how much fun that would be having Dave here for the podcast at the Red Rose Film Festival?
Oh, yeah.
Special guest.
Pirate Dave. Only can speak in pirates.
And then here's what's going to happen.
Arr.
Here's what's going to happen. He's going to not show up. And everyone's going to be like, that proves that he's David Moulton.
And I'll be like, it's not me, guys.
No, here's even better. You're going to leave to go get a coffee refill or a drink or something like that. Here comes Pirate Dave. I interview him by myself, and everyone's going to be like, oh, he still wasn't there with David.
As I walk back, he's like, oh, I got to go get the kids or the family or whatever he has going on. I don't know.
Speaking of the Red Rose Film Festival, this is exciting. This is going to be a lot of fun. So I got a slot. So you and I are doing live podcast from the Red Rose Film Festival pretty much whenever we want. But I think it's mostly Saturday.
Cool.
And then I'm doing a panel with Chayla on the exhibition industry.
Yeah.
So if you want to hear some war stories and sort of hear her perspective, and you hear my perspective every week, but we'll be talking about that. That's Tuesday at 2:30 in the afternoon. So I'm really excited for that, to have that panel, and that'll be fun.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to have lunch with Chayla this week to plan it, how we're going to do that panel. Maybe we'll ask you to moderate it.
Yeah, we can work that out.
Yeah.
I think that'd be pretty cool.
Record
it and put it up.
The closer we get to the Red Rose Film Festival, the more excited I am for it. Yeah. This is going to be a ball.
I saw the banners out and everything, or the billboards.
Yeah.
I was like, oh snap. That's pretty dope. All right. What have you been doing this week? What have you been watching, reading, profiling, and styling?
Not much. I mean, I've been working.
Twerking.
Thank God, not twerking. I had a window of opportunity on Thursday night, which I used to watch football.
Whoa.
Yeah.
America's biggest story.
And then I had another window of opportunity, which I used to watch Gemini Man. And then Amy and I continued watching Good Place.
Okay.
Kayla and I watch The Office all the time.
Right.
And that's pretty much it. I wish I had a better answer.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I didn't do too much watching of stuff. I did see the Addams Family movie, to which I was watching it and thinking, it's just not. I mean, it's a kids' movie. But like I was in the theater full of kids, and the kids weren't laughing, and I was like, wow, this is not hitting home. But then I got into the lobby, and I had gone with a family, and they were like. The kids were like, I loved it. And they were like raving and ranting about it, about how much they liked it.
Financially, it was a huge success.
So, apparently, it's not laugh out loud, blow your mind funny, but it's the type of thing that, like, I guess sticks with kids.
Huh.
So
cool.
Good for them, right?
Yeah, salute. Yeah.
So, but then I also started reading a book called, or a series called Throne of Glass by Sarah Moss. So I'm just at the beginning of it, and I'll probably report when I finish it.
That sounds fancy.
It's high class young adult fantasy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn. So, all right. So, what are we doing next week?
Well, we have Maleficent or Zombieland.
I feel like the clear answer there.
Oh, good.
Is Zombieland.
Okay, right? Good. Thank you.
To force you to watch Maleficent.
I'm definitely going to watch Maleficent.
Yeah.
But I'm happier to commit to watching Zombieland.
Right.
Like, if I have a window, I'll watch Maleficent.
Right. I still want to see Judy. I got to make time for that.
I want to see Judy. I still haven't seen Downton Abbey.
Oh, wow.
I want to see Downton Abbey. I almost watched Judy this morning instead of Gemini Man.
Wow.
But I didn't want to get in trouble with David.
I mean, people would have been raving and ranting. That gives me an excuse to use the scary button. I don't know what this does. Well, that was
ineffective. There he is again, making faces at me.
It wasn't a good one. So, all right. So, next week we're watching Zombieland. So, once again, if you want to get in touch with us, let us know your thoughts, your questions, whatever.
Or your answers.
Or your answers, please. Podcast at PennCinema.com.
How hard is that?
I know. We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/thePennCinemaPodcast, right? Also, if you want to leave a 5-star review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever they're calling it these days, and you can make Penn laugh.
But only if you make me laugh.
But only if you make him laugh. There's some IMAX tickets in there for you.
It's kind of a rigged thing because if your review is so bad that I don't laugh, that'll probably crack me up.
Yeah, this guy, they tried. So, all right. Well, once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care and party on.
's for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.